Good morning. The house will come to order. Please stand if you're able. Our flag salute will be led by Representative Cowan. Thank you for being on call at the last moment.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing. Our opening ceremonies this morning will be presented by Pastor Shane Hensley, who's with the First Assembly of God in Albany, guest of Representative Springer. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to start off by reading a passage from Romans 12, starting at verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I read that, and I was thinking about that this week. I was thinking about the part of being peacemakers and coming up here and speaking to you. And sometimes peace isn't necessarily the protocol for you guys. I know that as we're elected officials, sometimes things get heated pretty good, but it says, as far as it is possible, try to be peaceful with each other. And then the last part of that is evil and trying to turn evil into good. And I think as I am in children's and family ministry, I see so much evil around us that I think as you guys have been elected in this very important position, that how important it is that what you're doing and what you're passing is for the good of the people, not just now in the moment, but for generations to come. So I thank you all for your service in that area. Let's open up in prayer here. God, you truly are the maker of each one of us, and all the glory be given to you. As this session is going to begin, I pray each man and woman that stands before you, picked by you for this very important time, please give each one of them wisdom and discernment in the decisions that would be made, that good would come from each bill that is based on the truth that you have set before us. I also lift up each family in Oregon as we are working through this tough economic time. Many people have lost their jobs and others are facing the same possibility. Please be with each one of them through this difficult time. Thank you, God, that we can be a part of this great nation built on your truth. Bless each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Hensley. We are at Courtesies. If we could, and actually we'll come back to you, Representative Springer, in a few minutes, if that's okay with you. Pastor Hensley, if you could stay around for a few minutes, we have a special opportunity. If I could invite all of us to actually stand again, now that you're comfortably seated. We are honored today to have a special Medal of Honor recipient with us today. And Representative Stigler will introduce our special guest.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is my honor today to introduce to you over here on the side aisle, Mr. Robert Maxwell, who is the only surviving Medal of Honor recipient in the state of Oregon. Mr. Maxwell, would you please, there you go. He's accompanied today by Colonel retired Dick Tobiasen and his wife, Mary Jane, Greg Warnock, who is the executive director of the Oregon War Veterans Association, who's in the gallery up here, and Steve West, who have also been part of this effort to get Senate Bill 449 to us. They're up in the gallery up above here. And he's also been escorted by four cadets from North Salem High School. We have Cadet Major Morales. We have Cadet Corporal Espino. We have Cadet Sergeant Major Monzo. And we have Cadet First Sergeant Betts. And they're over on the side aisle as well. I want to indulge you, or ask your indulgence for a few moments while I read to you a little bit about Robert Maxwell. The Congressional Medal of Honor is our nation's highest award for valor. During the 103 years from 1868, 9 years after Oregon entered statehood in 1971, 24 recipients of the Medal of Honor have lived in Oregon. The Medal of Honor was first awarded during the Civil War. Only 3,462 awards have ever been made. Today, there are only 97 Medal of Honor recipients living in our nation, with 23 being World War II recipients. World War II veteran Mr. Robert D. Bob Maxwell of Bend is the only Medal of Honor recipient of any war living in Oregon. On a cold, dark night in Besançon, France, on September 7, 1944, technician 5th grade Robert Maxwell and three fellow infantrymen of the famed U.S. Army 3rd Infantry Division found themselves surrounded by an overwhelming German force equipped with heavy automatic weapons. The Americans were armed with only 45 caliber pistols, as their duties as communications specialists required them to carry heavy communications gear, field phones, switchboards, and reels of wire to connect their battalion headquarters with the rifle companies. The Germans knew the importance of this command post and fired automatic weapons into the small group. Technician 5th grade Maxwell returned fire with his 45 pistol. Eventually, the enemy drew closer and threw hand grenades into the unprotected location. When a hand grenade landed within their midst, technician 5th grade Maxwell knew there was no time to locate it in the dark and throw it away. Instead, he instantly threw himself on the grenade, which detonated beneath him. When he returned to consciousness, he found himself alone. Because of his unflinching bravery, his comrades and command post personnel escaped unharmed. Mr. Maxwell was seriously wounded and was able to escape only with the help of his platoon commander. While recovering from wounds in Colorado, where he entered the Army, Mr. Maxwell was awarded the Medal of Honor on May 12, 1945. The citation for his Medal of Honor was signed by President Franklin Roosevelt a few days before his death. Prior to his service in France, Mr. Maxwell served in North Africa, Sicily, and Italy. In addition to the Medal of Honor, Mr. Maxwell was awarded 2 Silver Stars, a Bronze Star, 2 Purple Hearts, the French Croix de Guerre, and numerous campaign ribbons. Except for 5 years living in Boise, Idaho, where he was born on October 26, 1920, Mr. Maxwell has lived in Oregon since he was discharged from the Army near the end of World War II. Mr. Maxwell has been a longtime educator in Oregon, having taught auto mechanics at community colleges in Bend and Eugene. He is married to B. Maxwell of Terrebonne, Oregon. Mr. Maxwell is the vice chair of the U.S. 97 Highway World War II Veterans Historic Highway Committee, whose proposal resulted in Senate Bill 449, eagerly sponsored by 18 senators and representatives from both parties. I would like you to please join me in welcoming Oregon's hero, Bob Maxwell, to the Oregon House of Representatives.
You may be seated. Welcome, Mr. Maxwell. Great to have you here, and we will have a resolution of interest to all of us and you that will come in a few minutes. Further courtesies, thanks for your patience, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is indeed a good day, colleagues, to be a part of this House. We have in our midst the Medal of Honor recipient, and we also have a bunch of kids, our future. I'd like to first thank, almost forgot here, Pastor Shane Hensley, and if you'd stand, and your wife, Chandra. Pastor Shane is the children's pastor at First Assembly of God Church in Albany, my son's pastor for many years until my son turned into a middle schooler. And they have 4 kids. We happen to have a couple of them here today. And they, in addition to running a very fine children's ministry, and they do that in partnership, they are an incredible example to our congregation and our community of a healthy, thriving, giving family. And so I thank him for coming, both of them, and ask you to welcome them. Also, would Caleb Glasser please stand? Thank you. Caleb is a homeschooler in the 5th grade, and he enjoys hunting, fishing, and running, hopefully not all at the same time. He aspires to be a farmer or in construction, and so please welcome him here. We have a couple other honorary pages. Would Ashley and Emily please stand? Thank you. Ashley and Emily Hensley. Ashley goes to North Albany Middle School, and Emily goes to South Shore. They're both into basketball, and I can attest that family got all the hype in the neighborhood and do very well at that. And so please welcome them to the house today.
Further courtesies, Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in welcoming an honorary page today. Meg Rose, will you please stand up? Colleagues, Meg is a sixth grader at St. John the Apostle School in Oregon City. She's also involved, for example, this summer she's going to the Junior National Young Leaders Conference in Washington, D.C. She's also an active tennis player. And her career goals are politics, leadership, and travel. Meg, thank you for your service today. It's good to have you.
Further courtesies, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to first introduce two of our honorary page for the day. If Valerie Harmon and Adam Harmon could both stand. Mandy. Here's the situation. I've got one son and eight daughters. One of my daughters is Valerie. Valerie has six children, the two oldest of which are Mandy and Adam. And so I'm delighted to introduce you to Mandy and Adam. And Mandy is in the sixth grade, and she likes to write. She's writing. She's going to work on a novel. She's writing plays and newspaper articles. And her goal is to be a writer someday. And Adam is planning to be a scientist. He has great love and interest in things relating to science and into space and art and many other things. So we welcome them today. Thank you. On the side aisle, I have Valerie and our youngest grandchild, Matthew. With 25 grandchildren, I have to work at this. And so he's our youngest. We have one on the way. And after we sign EDI, I will be flying to Indianapolis to meet with my number four daughter, who is having her fourth child, who will be our 26th. And so we're just happy to have this part of our family here today. Thank you.
Further courtesies. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask Cassie Fountain to stand. Cassie, welcome to the Capitol. Cassie is actually a constituent of Representative Burgers, and she's busy in committee, so I'm going to introduce Cassie. She's a fifth grader at Queen of Peace and loves to run. She's participated in the JC and Salem Relays, the Awesome 3000. She loves basketball, swimming, and gymnastics, and one of her career goals is to be a nurse and be in the medical field. Welcome to your Capitol.
Further courtesies, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Bianca, can you stand, please? Colleagues, I'd like to introduce honorary page Bianca Pino Singer, who's 14 years old, and she attends Mountain View Middle School in Beaverton, which is right down the street from my house, and it's the school where my two daughters attended. Bianca is active in the band, basketball, and writing, and her career goals are law or medicine, and my older daughter is a lawyer, so came through your same school. Good luck. Thank you for being here today.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, have an honorary page, and I'd like for Jeremy Uliberry to stand up. Jeremy, thanks for being here. I want to tell these folks a little bit about you. Jeremy's homeschooled. He's interested in soccer, ultimate frisbee, reading, and astronomy. And we're very happy that you're here today. So welcome, Jeremy. And Mr. Speaker, I would add, if I know our chief clerk, she's already thought of this, but what a wonderful opportunity. I hope we can have a photograph with our honorary pages and our Medal of Honor winner today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further courtesies, I also have the pleasure of introducing, so if Drake Chisholm would stand up, one of our honorary pages. Jake is from North Bend Lighthouse School. He's in the sixth grade. He's a class representative, student council member, and a basketball player. His career goals are to be a professional basketball or a sports agent or an athletic trainer. Thank you for being here as well. And I want to say a special thanks to all of our pages for the service that they provide for us while they're here at the Capitol. Thank you all for being here. Further courtesies, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to finish up with the honorary pages before I introduce another special guest. On the side aisle, I hope Beth Davison will stand up and be recognized. Beth is from Silverton. Beth is the president of our Rotary Club, but there's more to the story than that. Beth has been an educator for 29 years, including 1 year as the first grade teacher to my daughter, Leanne. But now Beth is the principal at Robert Frost Elementary School, where not only my daughters attended, but also such famous students as Max Sugarman, who is related to Jeff Sugarman. Beth's husband is a retired Silverton High School teacher. They have 4 children, only 3 granddaughters, so they have a lot to do to catch up with Representative Richardson, who has billions of offspring. But we're glad that you're here, Beth. Beth, in addition to the Rotary that I mentioned, Beth also finds time to be in our Silverton Area Community Fund, which helps the homeless and also assists with feeding the hungry, the YMCA Board, Soccer Association, and Community Theater. I hope that you'll extend courtesies to our friend, Beth Davison. Thanks for being here, Beth.
Further courtesies. A moment in our sesquicentennial history brought to us today by Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today's History Minute is adapted from an entry in the Oregon Encyclopedia written by James Fox, head of Special Collections and University Archives at the University of Oregon. I'm pleased today to feature Johnny Ray, who I actually knew in his later years, which means our History Minute is getting more current, or I'm older than dirt, or both. In the early 1950s, Johnny Ray was arguably the biggest musical star in the world. His emotional singing style earned him the titles The Tear Guy and The Million Dollar Teardrop and put him at the very top of the musical charts. From Australia to Chicago and London, teenage riots erupted wherever Ray went, kind of like our colleague from the Christmas Tree District. John Ray was born in Dallas, Oregon on January 10, 1927. From an early age, Ray astounded his family and friends with his musical talents and his penchant for the dramatic. In 1951, he recorded 2 songs that were produced by Mitch Miller titled Cry and The Little White Cloud That Cried. Cry was a smash hit, reaching number one and staying there for 11 weeks. Ray recorded a string of 20 hits for Columbia Records in the 1950s. He had become a very popular singer, and it wasn't long until he was signed to a movie contract. His first film, There's No Business Like Show Business, was in 1954. Johnny Ray put 25 hits on the charts between 1951 and 1957. He had many hits in the UK, where his popularity lasted considerably longer. His last hit in the U.S. was I'll Never Fall in Love Again in 1958, which has since been recorded by a number of other artists. Although he faded from popularity in the United States in the 1950s, he continued to tour in the U.K. and Australia. Ray is widely considered by musical critics to have ended the big band era and broken ground for Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan, and the Beatles. Johnny Ray died in February of 1990.
Further courtesies? Seeing none, we'll move on. Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Excuse business of the House. Representative Barnhart. Representative Bentz, I'm sorry. Representative Berger. Representative Brune. Representative Gelser. Representative Greenlich. Representative Jensen. Representative Call. Representative Reed. Representative Riley. Representative Springer. And Speaker Hunt. And Representative Bailey. There is a quorum present. Yeah. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed House Bills 2299, 2584, 2599. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he signed Senate Bills 244 and 380.
First reading memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special order of business. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 449 related to historic highways.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 449. Representative Stiegler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it is with great pleasure and honor that I rise today to urge passage of Senate Bill 449. Senate Bill 449 provides for U.S. Highway 97 in Oregon to be given the designation as the World War II Veterans Historic Highway. The historic highway designation does not change the highway's official name, any maps, or addresses. This honorary designation does not detract from or diminish in any way the importance of U.S. Highway 97's existing designation as a Blue Star Memorial Highway, which is a national program to honor all veterans, nor does it adversely impact any other statewide efforts to honor World War II veterans. Perhaps most importantly, especially in our current financially difficult times, it will not require any tax dollars. Instead, it is funded entirely through private donations. Senate Bill 449 is both an educational opportunity and an opportunity to restore lost history. Designating Highway 97 as World War II Veterans Historic Highway is one way we can commemorate the lives of people who have served our country and educate future generations about our past. As a longtime education advocate, I embrace any and every opportunity to bring history home to our children and grandchildren. In Oregon, U.S. Highway 97 is officially named the Dalles to California Highway, and it runs approximately 286 miles north to south, or south to north, depending on your perspective, from Biggs on the Columbia River to the Oregon-California border, 26 miles south of Klamath Falls. U.S. Highway 97 forms the major north-south transportation corridor that serves six rural Oregon counties along the east side of the Cascade Mountains. As a longtime Oregon resident, I am aware of the historical connection Highway 97 has to World War II and World War II veterans. Throughout the corridor are training sites, camps, airfields, barracks, and hospitals, which played a vital role for the world during this period of history. As examples, up in the north was U.S. Army Camp Rufus, near the small town of Rufus, which at the time was a population of 90 and swelled to a size of over 1,000 when U.S. Army soldiers were brought there to train. There was a U.S. Army field at Madras, Oregon, located near the junction of U.S. Highway 26 and U.S. Highway 97. And this facility was used to train pilots for Lockheed P-38 Lightning fighters and Boeing B-17 Flying Fortress bombers. There was a civilian pilot training program outside of Prineville. This new airport, complete with a hangar and administration building, was built in Prineville to support the civilian pilot training program. There was the U.S. Army airfield in Redmond. It was located east of Highway 97. It also was used to train pilots for the Lockheed P-38 Lightning fighters and the Boeing B-17 Fighting Fortress bombers. Today it is known as Roberts Field and the Redmond Municipal Airport. There was a civilian pilot training program in Bend. In 1942, a group of patriotic citizens banded together to deed a small piece of farmland to the city of Bend for the express purpose that a municipally owned and operated landing strip be established. This site was developed, and from 1942 to 45, again, it was used in the civilian pilot training program. U.S. Army Camp Abbott, located outside of what is now Sun River, Oregon, saw the training of combat engineers, with 90,000 trainees completing the program during the World War II period. And finally, there was the U.S. Naval Air Station located in Klamath Falls. In 1942, the Klamath Falls Municipal Airport was chosen to become the site of the U.S. Naval Air Station, and pilots trained primarily in Grumman F-4F, Wildcats, F-6F, Hellcats, and the TBM Avengers. There was also a U.S. Marine Corps barracks and hospital located in Klamath Falls. You might ask the question, why honor World War II veterans? In 1946, Oregon became one of the first states after World War II to honor World War II veterans with the dedication of a highway. On January 17th of that year, Oregon dedicated the portion of Route US 26 from its western terminus, just south of Seaside, to the interchange with Interstate 405 in downtown Portland in honor of the U.S. Army's 41st Infantry Division, thus, which was known as the Sunset Division. Today, this is known as the Sunset Highway. You might also ask, why now? And my answer to that question is specifically this. The median age for U.S. World War II veterans is 85 years of age for men and 87 years of age for women. 75% of the nation's 16 million World War II veterans have already died. Since starting this project approximately 19 months ago, U.S. Army veterans in totaling about 500,000 have died. Approximately another 1,000 U.S. World War II veterans die each day, 15 of them in Oregon. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to emphasize here is that there is a breadth of history to be recaptured and remembered. I feel strongly that we owe a profound debt of gratitude to our veterans. By designating Highway 97 as World War II Veterans Historic Highway, we can honor our veterans and educate present and future generations about this very important time in our history. I urge your aye vote on this bill, and I would cede my time over to, or I would turn it over to Representative Huffman, who is the co-carrier of this bill.
Co-carrier of the bill, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it has been my privilege to be a very small part of the Highway 97 World War II Veterans Historic Highway Committee, and it's my honor to bring you Senate Bill 449 today. I want to thank every person that has worked on, listened to testimony, and voted yes on this project to get Senate Bill 449 to the House floor. During World War II, almost 150,000 Oregon men and women wore the military uniform. Almost 4,000 died during that long war. Less than 40,000 are living in Oregon today. And as is true in our nation, 75% of Oregon's World War II veterans have passed away since the end of the war. It is estimated that approximately 15 Oregon World War II veterans pass from us each and every day. Today is the day for us to cast our vote of honor and thanks to memorialize our World War II veterans, our heroes. So why designate U.S. Highway 97 as World War II Veterans Historic Highway? U.S. 97 has a unique connection to Oregon's contribution to World War II. U.S. 97 provided for an important north-south movement of soldiers, equipment, and materials. U.S. 97 served 8 strategic military training facilities and Oregon maneuver areas, which were used by the U.S. Army, Army Air Force, U.S. Navy, and U.S. Marine Corps from 1942 to 1946. Senate Bill 449 establishes the honorary designation for U.S. Highway 97 in Oregon as a historic highway. It provides for a regional recognition to honor Oregon's World War II heroes and veterans. Teaches the traveling public through roadside signs about historic World War II sites along U.S. Highway 97. and honors Oregon's heroes. Please join me in an enthusiastic yes vote on Senate Bill 449.
Further discussion? Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, as one of the sponsors of this bill, I'd just like to say that all the bills that I've signed on to this session, this is the one I'm the most proud of. And I'd like to thank Steve West, who is sitting up in the gallery, for his leadership in getting this bill on this floor today. Klamath Falls is the southern anchor of Highway 97, and we would be very proud to be a part of this designation. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. As chair of the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee, I just wanted to take a moment to thank the originators and the sponsors of the bill in order, because it gave us a unique opportunity, some very special times in committee, an opportunity to memorialize a highway that has some particular historical significance. It gave us the opportunity to honor the sacrifices of our World War II veterans. And most especially, it gave us the opportunity to meet Bob Maxwell and Jack Sherman. It was a pleasure, and I urge your strong support for Senate Bill 449.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Stegler, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker. Again, I want to thank, add my thanks to previous representatives who have given their thanks to those who have worked so long and hard to get this bill before us and to get it passed. Again, we have Greg Warnock up here. We have Steve West. We have Mr. Tobiasen and Mr. Maxwell over here. They worked on the behalf of thousands and thousands of veterans in our state and in our country. And I want to thank them wholeheartedly and, again, urge your aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Everyone has voted. Senate Bill 449, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. And at this point, I would request that all veterans in our body please stand. All veterans, please stand and acknowledge our guest, our Veteran of Honor member. A salute might even be appropriate. Thank you very much. And congratulations on the passage of Senate Bill 449. Thank you for your service to our country and for bringing this bill forward for us today. Thank you. Propositions and motions. Representative Tomei. And I know that I was supposed to be first, but I'm here, so I can't do it. So I wanted to give her a few moments to get ready. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendment to House Bill 2137 and repass the bill.
Representative Tomei moves the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2137 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate made some technical clarification in the measure and added an emergency clause. It was a very good bill when it passed this chamber, and it's even a better bill when it comes back to us.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
I do not. Thank you.
She does not. Those of the opinion that House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2137 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All have voted. House Bill 2137B, having been concurred with the Senate amendments, is repassed. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2331 and repass the bill.
Representative Before we do that, our guest is leaving. Three gavels. Point of Representative Barker to your motion to repass. Representative Barker.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2331 and repass the bill.
Representative Barker moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2331 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the bill that talks about how many diversions a person would get in a lifetime. It was modified to be sure that the crime is related to the motor vehicle. And it's a good improvement and should pass. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2331B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Cannon votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Maurer votes aye. House Bill 2331B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions? Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2641 and repass the bill.
Representative Barker moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2641 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill is the one about online corruption of a child. The Senate added some language just to show that it doesn't only include texting but other things to bring it in line with the advances of technology. It's a good bill and deserves your support.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Barker does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2641B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2641B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions, Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2095 and repass the bill.
Representative Roblin moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2095B and repass the bill. To your motion.
Reminder, this bill did a whole lot of technical fixes for the Secretary of State's office. One thing that it did was also move the election for the Bureau of Labor and Industry to a two-year term this term, and then 4 years after that to put it back in the cycle that it used to be after this election last time. It passed 59-0 with one person absent that day in our place. It repassed in the Senate 23-3. The only amendment they did, it was a difficult one, we had in our bill issues a replacement ballot, and they changed that to reissue ballot. So that was the change that was made. I recommend concurrence with the bill.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin does not wish to close. Those who have the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2095 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Representative Shields is off the floor. House Bill 2095B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2004, relating to checkoff on income tax returns for political contributions and prescribed an effective date.
Bill read for the first time has passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2243, relating to regulation of licensed nursing home administrators, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2895, relating to state measures and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the second time were passed to third reading, and the Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and four bills be read for the second time immediately. House Bill 5002, House Bill 2834, House Bill 3058, House Bill 3153. Again, House Bill 5002, House Bill 2834, House Bill 3058, and House Bill 3153 be read for the second time immediately. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 5002, relating to financial administration, Florida Department of Administrative Services, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2834, relating to Oregon School for the Blind, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3058, relating to removal of fail permitting program, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3153, relating to utility facilities.
Bills read for the second time or passed the third reading calendar. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 144, relating to the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying, allows State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying to recognize results of standardization examinations administered by national organization in lieu of examinations administered by board in evaluating applicant qualifications for registration as engineer, land surveyor, or photogrammetrist.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 144. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. Representative Cowan votes aye. Senate Bill 144, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 166, relating to public facility planning and declaring an emergency, allows the Department of Corrections to lease real property located in Lane County and improvements to that property to the Department of Human Services.
The question now arises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 166A. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Esquivel votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Senate Bill 166A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 582, relating to sex offender notification to care facilities, repeals since that on previous requiring certain agencies and officials to notify long-term care facility or residential care facility that person seeking admission to facility is on probation.
The question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 582. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Harker, how do you vote? Harker votes aye. Representative Wisnett votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Representative Barton votes aye. Representative Holvey votes aye. Senate Bill 582, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 152, relating to purchasing authority of state agencies responsible for state institutions and declaring an emergency, authorized Department of Corrections and Department of Human Services to procure, contract for, or enter into agreements for goods and services.
Question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 152B. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Van Orman votes aye. Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Huffman votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Are you in the queue intentionally, Representative Gelser? On this bill or the next? Senate Bill 152B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Gelser, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to return to the order of courtesies, please.
Representative Gelser requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules and return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in welcoming Mrs. England's class from Corvallis at Franklin K-8 School. And I also see that we have Lisa Corrigan with us as well, who's a member of the Corvallis School Board. Welcome to your Oregon Capitol, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Welcome to your Capitol. Great to have you here. I would encourage you not to use flashes or one of our security will come and get you. It's fine. You got some good pictures already. You're good to go. Further courtesies. While we're here, colleagues, further courtesies. Back to the consent calendar. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 157, relating to criminal records checks, expands authority of Department of Human Services and Employment Department to require fingerprints of contractors and subcontractors.
Question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 157A. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Cannon votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. Senate Bill 157A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
Senate Bill 594, relating to exemption for property tax, for property taxation and prescribing effective date, permits property tax exemption claim for cemetery and crematory property regardless of claimant's organizational structure or state of organization.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 594A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Schaffler votes aye. Senate Bill 594A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 739, relating to testing of wells, requires seller of a real estate to test for arsenic in certain wells upon accepting offer to purchase.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 739A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kenemer, how do you vote? Kenemer votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. Senate Bill 739A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2682, relating to commercial security release and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading, final passage of House Bill 2682B. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I hope you'll forgive me from reducing a page of testimony here down to about a paragraph. House Bill 2682 would require an interim committee to explore the impact of a surety bail program would have on failure to appear rates, jail population, courts, and forfeiture collections, and compare these to the findings to national statistics. Allows but does not require this interim committee to make recommendations to the next regular or special session of the Legislative Assembly. House Bill 2682 has a minimal fiscal, no revenue impact, and is a good bill, deserves your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, do you wish to close? No, he does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Nolan votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. House Bill 2682B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3013, relating to ocean resources and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3013A. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 3013 comes to you unanimously from your Rules Committee through a very, 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 very long process of mediation, which involved all of the stakeholders, or many of the stakeholders. At times we felt more than there were stakeholders, to help implement the recommendations of OPAC with regard to ocean reserves. Part of that negotiations was also with our Ways and Means to take some of the new CARISA money that is outlined in the bill, $1 million, to help pay for this implementation process. What the bill does is it truly outlines exactly what ODF&W needs to do with regard to the two pilot projects, the three areas that are considered to be further reviewed, and a process by which that has to be done, and the fourth project, one that happens to be in the Coos Bay area, a process by which the Port of Coos Bay works with local stakeholders to see if there is a place there that would be appropriate. It also puts in an MPA, Marine Protected Area, outside of the one reserve that was in the Port Orford area. But it carefully was crafted. I would tell you that each of the periods and each of the words were meticulously gone over by a number of different groups to get to the point where they could come to our committee and acknowledge that the bill, the way it was written, was ready to go. The other criteria that the bill has is that if there is no funding for it, and it's at the very end of the section, that the ODF&W is to look at taking some of the restrictions away with respect to fishing intake if we don't have the money for the research, the ongoing research, and the ongoing security area necessary for these sites. I am exceedingly proud of the Coastal Caucus and the other members from our coastal communities and the environmental community in coming together and working and working and never giving up and coming up with House Bill 3013. I encourage your eye support.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, this is a great bill. We worked a long time, as the representative from the South Coast has explained already, but this is an important bill. The Coastal Caucus has led the, once again, 10% of your legislature, has led the way toward a consensus-driven process that will bring us people, everybody who is on this bill to the table, came away with an agreement that we could all live with, and it's going to do some good things, and we can move forward. It was part of our package that we bring from the coast to that helped us with our seafloor mapping and got our money from NOAA to help again with more mapping for different purposes, most notably the chart updates and further out than the 3-mile limit of the territorial sea. But this will also set the stage for future work, and another bill that's in play that Representative Roblin has, from the South Coast has, regarding marine research. So I hope you can all come together and with the rest of us and support this bill today.
Further discussion, Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I've been involved in this issue of marine reserves since my freshman session in 2001, and then going into 2003, we had House Bill 3534, the OPAC bill, which gave representation to the coastal communities, our fishermen, our county commissioners. That was worked out with the governor's office at the time. And as you've heard by the two previous speakers, the Coastal Caucus has looked at this very, very carefully and want to make sure that as this process moves forward, that there are some understandings. The Fish Rock Reserve is about 4.5 miles straight from my residence, west-northwest. I can almost look at it if Humbug Mountain wasn't there. I want to talk to you a little bit about what is the purpose of a marine reserve. The purpose is for research, to get baseline studies of those areas and better understand how to manage that resource out there, because we basically know very little. We have not, as a state, invested in that over a period of time, and I think we're negligent of doing that. I want to make sure that we understand that they're not intended to regulate fisheries. That's not what their intent is. The ODF&W under 496 has the present authority to open and close seasons, open and close areas, establish trip limits for the commercial fishing, limited entry into the commercial fishing, restrict size, species take, and bag limits. That's how you do that. You don't use a marine reserve. I want to caution you a little bit why this last section I'm going to read, why we've got it in there. California got carried away, put in large marine reserves, lots of them. Now they're in a budget crisis where they're $35 million just to manage their marine reserves, and they don't have any of that money. So now what they end up doing, they're not doing the research or the enforcement. So what happens? You've got a big bunch of no fishing areas. Oregon does not want to let that happen. In the last part of the bill, section 4, lines 12, it says, if funding cannot be secured to meet the enforcement and research-based monitoring needs associated with goals specified in section 2, agencies responsible for managing marine reserves shall make recommendations to the Fish and Wildlife Commission legislatively to initiate actions to scale down or suspend fisheries prohibitions in the marine reserves. We always talk about what legislative intent is. I want to make it clear what the legislative intent is. We're not going to have reserves if we don't fund them. They go away. People in black robes, if you get a court case, legislative intent is if the state doesn't fund them, they go away. They don't become just areas you can't fish in. We need to be monitoring them, actively having the enforcement, and actively doing the research. And if that does go away, then they go away. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, this bill came through Veterans and Emergency Services before it went to Rules, and I was the one no vote in Veterans and Emergency Services because the new CARISA money actually is in the Education Fund, and I thought with the budget crisis we're in right now, $1 million out of the K-12 education was something we shouldn't do, so I will be a no vote here on the floor today as well.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Roland, do you wish to... Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
For brief clarification on the origins in the process of this bill, House Bill 3013 did not come through the Veterans and Emergency Services Committee. There was a partner bill that relates to C4 mapping, which we did here in emergency services, but this bill was not heard and did not come through that process.
Is there further discussion? Now, Representative Roland, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Briefly. This is a really good bill, and I want to just talk a little bit to what Representative Widener spoke to. The new CARISA ended up on the beaches at Coos Bay, and it sat there as a tourist attraction for us for a long time. We had people coming and visiting. They tried to take it away. They took part of it away. It floated off and got away and ended up at Newport or someplace. They finally got that away. They took it out to the ocean, had the Navy come in and use torpedoes, and after they tried to shoot it, and it didn't sink, and they took the torpedoes. They finally sank it. They tried to blow it up on our beach. That didn't work out very well. They finally decided they were going to remove it. It's never been done in the surf before. They did a ship breaking in the surf in Coos Bay, and they did it with local people who could do the work. It was pretty remarkable. The company that came in did not realize the people had the skills they did in Coos Bay. They did remove it, and they did it in such a way that they came in under the settlement cost for the new CARISA, which was, and they came under the cost by $2,200,000+. Those of us on the coast have always believed there is a nexus to that ship being there and the money that came to the state. The fact is the money went to the state through the land board, because that's who has the beaches, and therefore all money they get has to go to the school fund. But truthfully, that was money that we believe deserved to be on the coast. And there were two parts of it, seafloor mapping and this reserve bill. I appreciate the fact that people finally recognized that nexus and that this money was there because of an event that took place and caused a lot of difficulty in our area. And the last part, I really appreciate what Representative Krieger mentioned in his comments. The reality is this is about research. It's about finding out what is down there. And we have a lot of research to do. A number of the fish that we catch, we haven't done the surveys that we should do. We need to continue to do that research. Recognize that Oregon fishermen have done more in the realm of sustainable fisheries than just about any place in the world. And our shrimp and our crab fisheries are meeting all those standards that other places just dream of being able to do. Our fishermen continue to try to make gear that's better to do less impact on the coast. They will continue to do that. The reserves will give us more information about an area of the our state that we don't know that much about. I would urge your eye support. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Representative, everyone else has voted. House Bill 3013A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 23 relating to Oregon Patient Safety Commission. Senate Bill 44 relating to kindergarten and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 177 relating to practice of social workers. Senate Bill 208 relating to suspension of driving privileges. Senate Bill 373 relating to orders to withhold. Senate Bill 400 relating to shellfish. Senate Bill 428 relating to members of the State Board of Education. Senate Bill 538 relating to physical education and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 636 relating to marks used in commerce and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 691 relating to the compensation for the loss of value of private forest land resulted from regulation of forest practice. Senate Bill 763 relating to transferal development credits and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 929 relating to the billing of tenants for water. Senate Bill 952 relating to the rights of tenants to foreclose property and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the second time are passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 191 relating to surface mining operations and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 191A. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 191A comes to you on the unanimous vote of your Committee on Land Use. Prior to the 1972 passage of Oregon's Mined Reclamation Act, Columbia County was already administering its own surface mining ordinance. As a result, Columbia County was grandfathered out of our State Mining Act and is today the only county in Oregon to have its own local surface mine operating permit program. Beginning in 2004, the Oregon Department of Geology and Minerals Industries, also known as DGAMI, began administering Columbia County's surface mining permit program under contract with the county. Over the past 5 years, this arrangement has worked well for both the state and the county. As a result, the county is willing to repeal its program and turn jurisdiction over to the department. Senate Bill 191A would accomplish this end, and I urge your support of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Witt, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Very briefly, colleagues, please allow Columbia County to join the flock. Thank you.
Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Senate Bill 191A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 298, relating to forfeited animals.
The question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 298A. Representative Olson. Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Senate Bill 298 comes to you from the Senate, where it passed with 28 votes in favor, and also came from the House Judiciary Committee, where it was unanimously supported. Currently, when an animal is forfeited from a home or individual due to abuse or other neglect, a court or agency may place that animal with the new owner. However, current statute gives a preference for placing the animal with a person that has had prior contact with it. Frequently, that person lives in the same household as the animal abuser, placing the animal back into harm's way. We heard testimony about instances when the spouse of the animal abuser was able to acquire the forfeited animal, bringing it back into the same household as the abuser. This bill prohibits the returning of a seized or forfeited animal back into the same household. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson does not wish to close. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 298A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 323, relating to electronic submission of reports to the Legislative Assembly and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 323A. Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 3... Pardon me. Oh. Something in my throat there. Senate Bill 323A, believe me, I'm not emotional about this bill. I'm just. It is a great bill, though. Pardon me. It comes to you unanimously from your Rules Committee. Currently, reports such as this gem, which is titled An Actuarial Valuation as of December 31st, 2007 of Safe Corporation, Loss and Loss Adjustment Expense Reserves, Financial Viability, reports such as this, thank you, Representative, are required to be submitted to the various officers of this body and the Senate, and this bill simply allows executive summaries to be submitted in their stead with information about where they can find the full report online. Great bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to emote again? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Matthews votes aye. Representative Nolan votes aye. Senate Bill 323A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. And colleagues, we have several carriers among the next few bills that are down in the Revenue Committee, so we're going to skip over a few bills one by one. The chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 377A be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on the Friday, May 29, 2009, third reading of Senate Bill's calendar. The carrier is excused. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 664, relating to pilot project for temporary transfer of water rights.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 664A. Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 664A extends the pilot project allowing irrigation districts to aggregate individual transfers and make one filing with the Water Resources Department. It was unanimous out of Environment and Water. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Jefferson Smith, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Boone votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Senate Bill 664A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 745, relating to attorney fees and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 745. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Oregon law allows the prevailing party to recover attorney's fees in both express and implied contracts, even in situations where the contract has been found void or unenforceable. Senate Bill 745 is a response to two appellate court cases where the court found the defendant was not allowed to recover attorney's fees because the defendant was not a party to the contract. This is problematic for victims of identity theft because they can become the defendant in a case without ever having actually been a party to the contract. This bill clarifies that attorney's fees can be awarded without regard to whether the defendant is a party to the contract. This bill garnered unanimous passage in both in the Senate as well as your House Judiciary Committee. I urge its aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. On the advice of legislative counsel, it looks like I might need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
State your potential conflict.
Well, I have, along with the contractor, a joint claim against the state on breach of contract.
So noted for the record. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barton votes aye. Representative Tomei votes aye. Representative Garrett votes aye. Representative Wingard, how do you vote? Representative Wingard votes aye. Senate Bill 745, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 759, relating to local public safety coordinating councils and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 759. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I bring you a simple fix to a simple problem to let LPSCs get their work done. We're talking about local public safety coordinating councils, commonly known as LPSCs. All counties should have one of these councils. In the criminal justice system, there are separate jurisdictions at different levels of government with parallel and overlapping responsibilities, and the activities of each can directly impact the work or the results of another. Lawmakers thought it was important enough for the criminal justice system components working together better that legislators created local corrections advisory committees in 1977, mandating and renaming them to local public safety coordinating councils in 1995. LPSCs were set up to help organize and coordinate policies among the criminal justice entities and to provide recommendations for more efficient and effective use of public safety resources. Collaboration such as the kind that LPSCs enable can lead to improved service and cost-effective solutions. Senate Bill 759 allows these councils to operate more efficiently. The measure changes the statute so that the PSCC can conduct business with the majority of the quorum present instead of the majority of all of the committee members. For a panel made up of volunteers, busy agency staff, and elected officials totaling more than 20 in most counties, it's hard to get a quorum in the room for each meeting. I hope you'll join me in voting for this simple but necessary change in the law to allow them to proceed with creative ideas and new ways of getting their business done.
can. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Nathanson, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Senate Bill 759, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 901A and Senate Bill 970 be carried over from today's calendar and placed in their proper place on the third reading calendar on Friday, May 29, 2009. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 6-1, relating to exemption from lobbyist regulation.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 61-A. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is another bill that comes to you from your Rules Committee with a unanimous vote. It does a very simple thing. When we passed our ethics bills a few years ago, it exempted the partisan statewide elected's chief of staff from the requirement to register as a lobbyist because they're here all the time. It inadvertently, I believe, and after having testimony believe it to be true, left the nonpartisan chiefs of staff in the requirement. So that means the Bureau of Labor and Industry and the Superintendent of Public Instruction, their chiefs of staff, without this bill, need to do all this registration things that we do not think is appropriate as long as we're not having the others. So this bill just corrects that, and I urge your aye support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes aye. Senate Bill 61A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 125A be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place in the third reading calendar on Friday, May 29, 2009. The carrier is excused. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 142, relating to professions regulated by the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 142. Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 142 would prohibit the practice of photogrammetric mapping without registering with the State Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. It authorized the board to issue registration without examination to an individual who holds a substantially equivalent certificate from another state or county or country. Photogrammetric mapping, for those of you that aren't aware of what this process is, it's the most efficient means of producing accurate representations of small and large complex areas of land. Specifically, it's analytical stereo plotter linked to a high-speed computer graphic workstation with state-of-the-art software, providing accurate base maps and topographic maps as well. Bottom line on this is what we're asking to do is for those that participate in photogrammetric mapping, aerial photography, to stamp their documents so that when those documents are used, there's accountability for the plans and accountability in the process. So this bill would allow that. And again, if you want to know more about the wonderful world of photogrammetric mapping, I would encourage you to talk to anybody on our Business and Labor Council. Did a great job on the committee. Thank you, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Matthews, do you wish to close?
No, sir.
He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 142, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 143, relating to practice of engineering exemptions.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 143. Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Senate Bill 143 comes to you unanimously out of the Business and Labor Committee that is going to have the best committee of the party of the session this evening. And McGoos, I think you're all invited. Senate Bill 143 was introduced at... I'm informed that you are now. Senate Bill 143, introduced at the request of the Oregon Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying, addresses the issue of registered professional engineers who are currently exempt from laws and regulations pertaining to their profession when providing engineering services for houses or small commercial structures. There have been a number of registered professional engineers who have provided services to design and analyze custom homes and have failed to competently perform the work. The engineers can be referred to the board for a formal law enforcement case, but are powerless to sanction or issue any penalties. This bill removes the statutory exemption for registered professional engineers to make plans or specifications for single-family residential dwellings and garages and commercial buildings under 2 stories and 4,000 square feet, unless they are properly registered and certified to perform the work. The measure does not apply to architects, home designers, or other professions who are currently exempt. There is no known opposition to the measure. I urge your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes... Representative Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 143, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. I'm sorry, Representative Esquivel, for what purpose are you in the queue?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. A request to return to courtesies.
Representative Esquivel requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules and return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Esquivel.
Colleagues, we have with us today in the gallery 62 students from Orchard Hill Elementary School in Medford and Wilson Grade School in Medford. Please give them a hearty welcome and welcome to your capital.
Great to have you here. Enjoy your day in the Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask my colleagues to welcome my intern for a day, return for a second stint, my grandson, Jim Tabor, who's here. Jim graduated a year ago from Occidental College, has been in AmeriCorps, and heads off for Boston for graduate work in the fall, and he's here to find out if we're still as messed up as we were when he was here last time. I think he's recognized we are, so please say hello to him when you see him.
Any further courtesies while we're here, colleagues? Seeing none, back to third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 202, relating to construction contractors.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 202A. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. Colleagues, this is the so-called chimney sweep bill. Last session, we added chimney sweeps to the definition of contractors in the CCB law, but it was put in the wrong part of the statute. So we're going to put it back where it belongs. This is literally a housekeeping issue. The bill has no known opposition, no fiscal impact, does not change any public policy matters. CCB can still regulate the chimney sweep industry with this bill. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Thatcher, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nathanson, how do you vote? Nathanson votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Representative Van Orman votes aye. Representative Wingard, how do you vote? Representative Wingard votes aye. Senate Bill 202A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 316, relating to clinical trials.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 316A. Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill. Senate Bill 316A comes to you from the Health Care Committee with no nay votes, one absent, but I would like to speak to this bill, which is called the Access to Clinical Trials Bill. It protects patients participating in clinical trials and removes barriers to important medical research. Despite the best efforts of our highly capable researchers, Oregon ranks just 21st in the country in terms of medical research funding from the National Institutes of Health, and this bill will eliminate one particular barrier to conducting clinical research in Oregon. The bill has the strong support of providers, patients, and insurers, and was approved nearly unanimously by the committee, as I said. Clinical trials offer a way for patients to get access to new, potentially more effective treatments. That was certainly the case for patients of world-renowned OHSU cancer researcher Brian Druker and his breakthrough drug, Gleevec. In that case, clinical trials offered patients access to medication that vastly improved their prognosis and survival rate. The trials also allowed Dr. Druker to validate his approach, which has become a model for cancer researchers around the world. Colleagues, I am happy to count as personal friends both Dr. Druker and at least one person whose life was saved by this work. It's important for me to mention that Senate Bill 316 has the strong support of insurers. In fact, it is cost neutral for insurers because it simply clarifies that they must continue to cover the routine care costs of beneficiaries who choose to enroll in a clinical trial. These are not new costs, nor is this viewed as a mandate by the insurers. The challenge is that some insurance companies have used participation in a clinical trial as a reason to delay or deny coverage of routine care. By routine care, we mean those medical costs incurred regardless of whether the patient participates in a clinical trial. Without this legislation, Oregon will remain at a competitive disadvantage relative to other states when it comes to hosting clinical trials. 25 states have enacted legislation requiring insurance coverage for routine care costs. To date, Oregon has not. This bill is designed to address that, and I urge your support for Senate Bill 316A with an aye vote. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Harker, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Representative Van Orman votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Representative Esquivel votes aye. Senate Bill 316A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. And I call as I think this will be our last bill of the day. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 577, relating to certification of appeal to the Supreme Court and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 577. Representative Girard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, a little history. Shortly after implementation of Senate Bill 10 from the 2007 session, a lawsuit was filed challenging whether the lobby expenditure limits in the bill violated provisions of the Oregon Constitution and federal constitution that protect the right to political speech. The statutory provisions were upheld by the Marion County Circuit Court in September of last year. The plaintiffs have filed an appeal in the Court of Appeals and have already filed their briefs. The process is expected to take several years if it follows the ordinary course of briefing in the Court of Appeals, argument, decision, petitioning to the Oregon Supreme Court, and then repeating the briefing and argument process over again. Senate Bill 577 would allow either party to the suit to petition the Court of Appeals to certify the case to the Supreme Court. Upon receipt of the motion, the court will be required to certify the case, and the Supreme Court will be required to accept it for consideration. The Supreme Court is then to expedite the proceeding and advance the case in front of its civil docket. By doing so, it is a hope that the legislature might well have clear direction from the Supreme Court on the constitutionality of these lobby expenditure limits by early next year. As we proceed to legislate in the areas of government ethics and campaign finance, it is imperative that we structure our laws based upon what is and what is not constitutional. An answer from the court on the Senate Bill 10 challenge will provide that certainty and will likely guide the tone of legislative responses for 2 years or 4 years to come. We've done this before when we have passed legislation in the area of PERS reform and in other cases when a fairly swift determination of the constitutionality of legislation is essential to guide our decision-making. This bill passed the Senate by a vote of 30-0 and had the unanimous support of your Rules Committee, and I know you're hungry for lunch, so please give a yes vote on Senate Bill 577.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Girard, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Esquivel votes aye. Senate Bill 577, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Now, I'll have a series of motions, colleagues, which are all moving bills over in various ways till tomorrow. The chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 689B be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on the Friday, May 29th, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 786 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Friday, May 29th, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate Bill's calendar be carried over to their proper place on the Friday, May 29th, 2009 third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats will caucus at 4:30 this afternoon. Thanks.
Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, please get your lunch and meet us as close to 12:15 as possible for caucus.
Representative Greenlick. Colleagues, I have been informed I have to read this whole memo to you, so bear with me. I hoped I didn't have to read the whole thing.
Effective May 29, 2009, and in accordance with the deadlines established by Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, no further action on legislation for the 2009 regular session will be taken by the following committees: House Committee on Administration, House Committee on Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities, House Committee on Business and Labor, House Committee on Consumer Protection, House Committee on Education, House Committee on Environment and Water, House Committee on Health Care, House Committee on Human Services, House Committee on Judiciary, House Committee on Land Use, House Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development, House Committee on Transportation, House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Services. Also effective Friday, May 29, 2009, agendas posted for the following committees will require the signature of and advance approval by the Speaker of the House: House Committee on Revenue, House Committee on Rules. Additionally, I'm invoking House Rule 8.15 sub 6 and declaring that sine die of the session is imminent and that an emergency exists. Effective Friday, May 29, 2009, the provisions of Rule 8.15 sub 5D will be in effect, which suspends the requirement that 48 hours notice must be given for work sessions during committee meetings. However, if the meeting scheduled is for the purpose of taking public testimony, at least 24 hours advance notice is required. Committee chairs are encouraged to continue providing as much notice as possible to the public during this period. And I really emphasize that last point, even though committee chairs of the remaining committees do have what's basically post and go authority at this point, they have been clearly instructed, and I believe that they clearly understand and affirm the desire not just to give the public as much notice as possible, but to give members of their committee and of the broader legislature as much advance notice as possible. Are there any further announcements? You want remonstrances, Representative Shoffler? Announcements, Representative Shoffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to announce that the House Committee on Business and Labor finished its business for the session yesterday. I believe we were the first one.
Not that you're competitive. Seeing no further announcements, remonstrances, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to share with my colleagues a significant accomplishment of one of my young constituents, Arjun Kandaswamy. Arjun was the state representative in National Geographic's Geography Bee. He finished in second place, got to the finals, finished in second place, and won a $15,000 scholarship for his achievement. And I thought I would share with you the question that stumped him, which was Timmis County shares its name with a tributary of the Danube and is located in the western part of which European country? So if any of you want to take a guess at that, at the answer to that question, I'm sure you're all geography buffs. Just let me know and I'll tell you whether you had the right answer or not. Thank you, and join with me in congratulating Arjun Kandaswamy.
Further remonstrances. Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Friday, May 29th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Friday, May 29th, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.